Hey everyone, again this is Valerie Ann with the Truth Exposition Show at Freedomizer Radio. We have Riker, my co-host here. Hi Riker, are you there?
Yes I am, hello.
Hello, happy almost birthday to us.
Yes, it is so freaky that we have the same birthday.
We talk a little bit about Isin. Now, I'm not saying Comet Isin is Nibiru or anything like that, but there's something going on with Isin from information I've been given. Now, I know you have been following this a little bit too, Larry. You have been following this too, Riker, right, lately?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I have been getting some emails, and let me see. What I also... It's just so funny. It's not funny, but it just seems ironic that the AMS, which is the American Media Society, I just got this email, and I've been, I want to talk about that, what I talked to you about on the phone recently, about the fireballs, and from 2005 to present, how they increased a substantial amount throughout the years. But what I want to bring to everybody's attention is the American Media Society, and anybody can actually go online to the American Media Society and check out the fireball reports, okay? It's people submitted, or I don't know if they call it, but I think they submitted at the site that they see the fireball and they answer certain questions about it, I presume, because information goes up on the website basically describing what they've seen, okay? So I'm going to save that. I'm going to get that link, rather, I'm sorry, and I'm going to, anybody who, if you're just listening and you're interested and you're not in the chat, all you have to do is do a search for Media, American Media Society. It's amsmeteors.org, okay? That's what I have here. So I'm going to give this everybody in our chat. Yeah, okay, it's in chat. But for those of you just listening in and you're not in our chat, again, it's the American Media Society. All you have to do is go to the website, and to the right, you can click on November 1st. So far, we're November 2nd, but November 1st, there were 37 reports in Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, Maryland. Let me see where else.
And people have to remember, Maine, too, when it says 37 reports, it may be the same one they're seeing. It may only be one or two.
Right.
But there's 37 different individuals that are reporting could be on the same one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what I'm going to do is they've seen it, yes, in Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, Maryland, New Hampshire, New York, Pennsylvania. Where else did they see it? Now, that was just yesterday alone. I don't see any reports yet today. Maybe it comes out the day after. I'm not sure. I'm assuming that's what it is. So I think that's what it is, right? They report it towards, like, the end, and they report the times and stuff. That could be possible.
Yeah, it might take them several hours to compile it and then post it.
Yeah, exactly. What I wanted to point out, though, I'm going to go to Isin in a minute, but I'm kind of trying to build up something here, okay? So now there's an increase in reports of fireballs, okay? And I'm not trying to... you know, scare anybody. I'm not trying to say it's the end of the world. I'm not trying to say we're going to get hit with a meteor. I'm not trying to say that. All I'm saying is just coincidental that this comet Isin is coming around and we're having an increase in reports of fireballs, okay, nationwide, even worldwide, I should say. I'm going to get
people
got to
remember, too, we've had an increase in these fireballs since, what, 2003? And
right,
Isin wasn't discovered.
Yep.
Yeah, Isin wasn't discovered until just last year in September.
Right, by two, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but they were two amateur astronomers in Russia, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Now, the increase in fireballs throughout the years may not be, obviously, because of Isin, but it's because of something, okay, I believe. Going back to 2004, when you go to the AMS site, there is no reports. Now, I don't know if that's because they didn't start reporting them on that site in 2004, or there were none. I can't see there not being any. but probably they didn't start reporting it until 2005. So I'm going to – I looked on the site, and Riker and I were talking about this on the phone last week, the week before, and I was bringing it – brought it to his attention because I actually went to the site, and I wanted to see, did they increase throughout the years, okay? So in 2005, there were 467 reports of fireballs. 2006, there were 517 reports. 2007, there were 591. 2008, there were 730. In 2009, there were 699. In 2010, there were 950. In 2011, there were 1,637 reports, that is. In 2012, there was 2,147. And so far, in 2013, I know it's obviously almost the end of the year, but so far, and this is as of a few weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, in 2013, there have been so far 2,544. So it went from 2006 to 500-something. Oh, no, I stand corrected. From 2005, it was 400 and change, and then... what, 8 years later, it's up to 2,500.
Like
exactly.
Yeah.
So what, there has to be something that's causing these, the gradual, significant number of reports that are happening in the last 8 years. And to me, that's just not a coincidence. That's actual proof that there is an increase. But there's no proof of the cause. That's the thing. What is the cause? So that is the question. Okay, so we already know there's an increase. So what's the cause? We can speculate, we could speculate it could have been, Now, these amateur astronomers actually discovered this comet in 2012, but obviously they discovered it, but it was around before that. They just happened to see it in their telescopes at that time. So could it be, though, that it was, like I said, I'm not a scientist, right? I'm an investigator, right? So I investigate information. I kind of connect the dots like we discuss. We connect the dots and we try to come up with some kind of theory or hypothesis, right? So could it be possible? And like I said, I'm not an expert on comets. So if anybody is and you want to call in, that would be helpful. So the number here is 347-324-3704. Would love to hear from you. Again, I just find that this comet, there are certain things that's happening with this comet, or what they want to call a comet. It had caused some perturbations with Mars recently. Do you know anything about that? Because that's what
I got
several reports about it.
I saw photos of, and as far as I know, they were from Europe because our government was, during that shutdown, ironically, at the same time it was interacting with Mars. Mars looked almost like a snow globe after this comet went by it. And the only thing NASA had to say was that it came much closer to Mars than they calculated.
Right. So they calculated, of course.
Yeah, so it just makes you wonder, when they say something, never a straight answer, NASA, that they would say, that they missed it. I don't think they missed it. I think they knew. And that's
right.
Could be why the government was shut down at that time, that all the satellites that are here was not able to take pictures of it, or at least us, the public, able to see it.
Right. Now, I just happened to pull up the switchboard, and I was reading from something, so I really apologize. There was somebody on hold, so I'm watching the switchboard now. So if you hear me, just call me back. Call back in. We would love to hear from you. So just call back. So I'm sorry that you had to drop off, but I will keep watching the switchboard and coming back and forth. I'll eventually see you if you call back. So I want to read, there is another individual who gives me information. I'm sure he gives you information as well. He does research on this and, they basically, he also gave me information about Professor McCanny. Now, this is information given to me, so I'm just going to relate the information that's given to me. So you know, obviously James McCanney. I know Riker, that you follow him and listen to him. According to James McCanney, who's an astrophysicist, right? He predicts Ison to interact with Mercury around the 13th or the 14th. Now, I'm going to add something to that in a minute. I'm just going to finish reading this about what he had supposedly stated. According to a source, James McCanney basically said that Ison might make Mercury go comet just like it did Mars back October 1st. Did you hear anything about Ison causing Mars to go comet? I had watched a video.
He did say that it was going to have an electrical discharge between the two objects because it was going to come that close to Mars. After it had happened, he himself was even surprised that it did exactly what it did. He knew something was going to happen, but not to that extent.
Right, right. So they keep saying there's something up with Ison. So the thing is, we all know there's something up with Ison. It caused certain perturbations with Mars recently, right? That was October 1st, I think I was given that
date.
So it's supposed to be coming closer to Mercury, I guess, soon, because it's supposed to cause, you know, something to happen with Mercury, possibly like it did Mars, the source is telling me. This source also provided me information that Ison is traveling at about 97,000 miles per hour and is about 3 days ahead of schedule. They also watched some kind of a video that basically said it's over 109 million miles from Earth and may have created a power outage in Tucson, Arizona, possibly. He's not sure if that has anything to do with, but it could have possibly caused a power outage over there. Because you think about it, 109 million miles from Earth, in space terms, I guess, I don't know if I'm right, the proper term, but in space terms, is that close? Is that too far to cause anything?
Let's put it this way. Between Mars and us, it's just under half the distance between us and Mars.
Right. So that's pretty...
almost a quarter of a billion miles away. So 250 million miles away, give or take.
Right.
That's not exactly right, but it's close.
Right. That's pretty close then. Okay. So now this is what I also wanted to bring to light for those of you just listening in that didn't listen to my show. I think it was last week, the week before our show, that we were talking about the GRID-X2 drill. Now, the GRID-X2 drill, I'm going to bring it up, and I want to get the exact datum, what they're trying to say. So the GRID-X2 drill is a drill that the government and approximately 150 companies are supposed to be involved in an assimilation if the power grid was to go down. Now, I'm going to read from the article a little bit so people understand what this is. And I know you know about this. So what I'm going to do is, Rike, I know you know about this. So what I'm going to do is share this in our, let me see. Share this in the, where did it go? Here it goes. I'm going to share this article in the, there it goes twice. I'm going to share the article in the chat room. For those of you just listening in and, you know, you're not in the chat room, all you have to do is search for drill will simulate a knockout blow. It's a power grid drill, like I said, that certain government agencies and about 150 companies and groups will take part in the drill. So I'm just going to read from it a little bit. Okay, let me bring it up again. So it basically says, the electric grid, as government and private experts describe it, is the glass jaw of American industry. If an adversary lands a knockout blow, they fear it could black out vast areas of the continent for weeks, interrupt supplies of water, gasoline, diesel fuel, and fresh food, shut down communications, and create disruptions of a scale that was only hinted at by Hurricane Sandy and the attacks of September 11th. This is why thousands of utility workers, business executives, National Guard officers, and FBI anti-terrorism experts and officials from officials from government agencies in the United States, Canada, Mexico, are preparing for an emergency drill in November that will simulate physical attacks and cyber attacks that could take down large sections of the power grid. They will practice for a crisis unlike anything the real grid has ever seen. And more than 150 companies and organizations have signed up to participate. This is different from Hurricane Sandy that hits X, Y, and Z counties in the southeast, and they have a loss of power for 3 or 4 days, said the official in charge of the drill, Brian M. Harrell, of the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, known as NERC. We really want to go beyond that. One goal of the drill, called Grid X2, is to explore how governments would react as the loss of the grid crippled the supply chain for everyday necessities. If we fail at electricity, we're going to fail miserably, Hebert said, a former chairman of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, said at a recent conference held by Bipartisan Policy Center. Mr. Harrell said that previous exercises were based on the expectation that electricity would be up and running relatively quickly. Okay, would be up and running relatively quick. Now he said the goal. Oh my God! I do need sleep, don't I?
We won't tell anybody what we were talking about off the air.
Happy birthday to us.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay.
Whatever. Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah, so, you know, this is very interesting. But what I'm curious about is this. And if anybody can answer this question. So they're supposed to kind of assimilate a power grid shutdown, a knockout blow to the power grid. How are they going to do that? Are they going to be, is part of the drill shutting off the grids? Or is it
We'll have to wait and see, won't we? That'll be pretty freaky.
Now, what I failed to mention, everyone, is that supposedly they're scheduling this drill to happen on November 13th and 14th, okay? So if you're in the middle of something and your power goes out on the 13th or the 14th, I guess you're part of that drill. I don't know if they're going to be taking down the grids.
I'll tell you something interesting. You know that I've been looking into getting a generator, a backup generator for my home. And when I had the guy come here to the house, I asked him, I said, has business increased for your company, relative to, say, several years ago? And Eddie said, yes, it has. He says, more and more people are getting backup generators for the home like they were getting air conditioners for their homes years ago. So people out there are realizing that, you know, our electric grid or power grid is old. You know, anything could happen for any of these reasons that we're mentioning, or the simple fact that a storm could come by like Hurricane Sandy or a blizzard or whatever and could take down the grid. So, you know, more and more people are looking up for backup systems for their homes. So I thought that was pretty interesting that more and more people are looking into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It is interesting. I know who Michio Kaku is. He's the astrophysicist that works in the CUNY system here in New York, for the city of New York and the colleges over here. I'm not sure which college within the city of New York he's with. But he's in with one of them. There are many, okay? But he basically says that we're due for one. We're basically due for one. We're kind of overdue for one of these CMEs to basically hit Earth and knock out our power grids. And he even said that we're not prepared. The governments of the world are not prepared for this. He even said that. Again, he is an expert in this. This is his, you know, this is his expertise in discussing, you know, the sun, the solar cycle and sun's activity, and, you know, he's predicting a possibility of this happening. But now I want to go back really quick to an article I'm reading in NBC News. Yeah, I know, it's mainstream, but I'm going to read it anyway. They're saying in this, I'm not going to read the whole article, but what I find significant is this about going back to ISIN. In the article, they talk about ISIN and, how the two Russian amateur astronomers noticed it and everything. But the thing is, there is a title in this article that says it's looking weird. So I'm going to read what this is saying, and I'm going to add this in the chat room. Okay, I have somebody with their hand up, so I'm going to bring you in a moment. I see you in here. Do not hang up. I see you've been holding for about 3 minutes, so bear with me. I'm just going to share this in the chat room. And I just want to read a little bit of it, and then I'll pick you up. The highly regarded comet observer John Bortle is just as perplexed by the comet's recent appearance, commenting that the recent images, along with his own visual impression, is downright weird. He adds that, and this is what this gentleman is saying. There is a bright, miniature, long-tailed comet situated within a much larger but very much fainter and diffuse halo of a coma. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the coma is sort of like a cloud formation, right, around the nucleus of a comet. I think that's what that is because I looked it up. Those visual people using larger telescopes also often remark about the odd way the comet looks, while those using relatively small scopes and big binoculars report seeing a larger, more or less faint, but uniform cometary mass, he added. This comet is currently at a distance from the sun where it should no longer exhibit such an appearance. Bortle has observed several hundred comets, and yet he writes, at this stage of the game, with the comet about to cross the orbit of Earth, I cannot recall any previous comet in my 50-plus years of comet observing looking quite like this. So what does ISIN's current look foretell or mean? I honestly don't know. All I can say is I don't like the odd look of it. So that's what's interesting. And Larry, let me see. Riker, I'm bringing you back in. Okay.
Yeah, so got cut off again.
Yeah. No, that's okay. That's okay. So you got cut off and you called back in. All right.
It happened last week. Every 30 minutes, it seems like that's what happens. I get cut off. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's really, really odd. That's really odd. All right, we have a call on hold, but what I'm going to do, Paula, don't hang up. I do have to go to a break, okay? So give me about 3 minutes with break, and we'll pick you up, okay? So don't hang up. So I'm going to play a couple of ads here. And BTR is acting really weird, so just hold on a minute. Yeah, so while the BTR is coming up, I'm going to tell you, so I don't know if you heard that, but this individual is saying that he's observing the comet and there's something up with this comet, that it should have basically, I guess, lost some glow or whatever that, whatever he meant, it should have changed, but it hasn't with coming into Earth's orbit. So that's what he was saying. Oh, so we're going to go to break, and we'll be back in 3 minutes. And remember, caller, I'll pick you up as soon as we get back. Okay, everyone, this is Valerie Ann again with the Sex Position Show at Freedomizer Radio, and I have my co-host Riker on the line.
Hello.
Hi. So we have another caller, and you're live now, caller. So you have a question, comment, you want to talk about ISIN, because that's what we're talking about, or you want to give some other information?
Okay, Val, yeah, this is J.D.
Okay, I was just going to introduce you, so I didn't say anything.
Okay. Yeah, a couple of things about ISIN I found out. One, we are not going through the path of the tail. If you look at it three-dimensionally, the tail is probably roughly about 2 to 3 million miles away from our orbit. Two, also, the closer that ISIN gets to the sun, the more CMEs that it puts out. Also regarding for the CMEs, anybody can disrupt the CMEs. You can even go to Radio Shack and make up a CME disruptor. Also, this has been a while back, about 8 or 9 months ago, They did a radiograph of Bison when it was further out, and inside they had found like a three-prong arrow that was not of gaseous or metallic parts. Some people think it might be a ship. Really, nobody has any idea what it might really be.
Well, that's interesting. I heard the last part about it being a ship. For some reason, my Skype cut off. So I didn't hear most of that. So I'm really sorry, but I'm sure that Riker heard all of that. So I apologize. What were you guys talking about? I'm back now, obviously.
Well, I was listening to him. He was doing the talking. I was just going to make a comment that, so you're hearing that this could be a ship. Is that what you said? Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, because just like I said, about 8 or 9 months ago, they did like a radiograph on it far, far out, and inside of it was not metallic, was not gas. It was 3 points, like the shape of an arrow that's inside of it.
Okay. Yeah, I think I did see that photo, too, where they were talking about that.
Yeah, so there's something up with this. To me, there's something up with this so-called comet. I don't know if you heard me reading about what that individual was saying about it looking weird.
Right.
Yeah,
but also like,
so...
Yeah.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, they were claiming, too, also that the closer it gets to the sun, the more CMEs that it is drawing out of the sun.
Right. That's what I kind of, I kind of predicted, because only because of what it basically did to Mars, if you're aware of that.
Right.
Because something happened with Mars, and sources tell me that when it comes closer to Mercury, it may happen, something may happen to Mercury too, like it did Mars. They said that Mars, McCandy said that Mars basically went comet. Now, I don't know what that means, that it went comet. Does it mean the brightness of it? Does it mean the movement of it? Like, what does it mean when a comet or something can cause a planet to go comet?
A comet cannot cause another planet to go comet.
Exactly.
Saying, the only way it could do that, it would have to be a solid body.
So it would have to be a solid body it would have to be a solid body, a large solid body, don't you think? Larger than what, you know. And
well, the way I understand it, when they say planet going comet, doesn't mean it's necessarily it turns it into a comet, but it causes the planet to glow like a comet. I think that's what they mean by that.
That's what I think that meant. Because when I was watching the video, James McKinney, the video on YouTube about it, they were showing in the actual video, when they were talking about it, they were showing the video and how it was actually lighting up. They're saying that it caused, that's what I thought too. I didn't think it meant it actually flying around like a comet or moving like a comet. I kind of figured it had to do with the glow of it. But like JD was saying, you know, it's got to be something large, and I believe something that has a magnetic field or magnetic something that has a magnetic pull, something that has a strong magnetic field to be able to do something like that, no?
Well, now in that, too, they have also cited, too, another solar system entering our solar system. So I don't know if that's associated with Ison or not.
Right. Could it be that Ison is part of something? You know, could Ison be a moon? I mean, could Ison be the moon of another solar system? Wouldn't it be like not a planet, but would it be like a moon of another solar system? Is that how it would be?
It could be very well be, or it could be the main nucleus of the whole solar system of the second one.
Right.
Well, there has been some videos out there that this comet has some companions with it.
Right.
So when you see the comet itself, there's other objects that are moving around it too. So is this what they're talking about, that this could be the mini solar system that you're speaking of, or is it something else and this is just part of it?
Well, also, too, if you notice on some of the photographs it has, too, to the right of it that has a body that's keeping at the same pace as Ison 2.
Right, that's
right.
What I was talking about, that it has companions, right.
Right. So it could, that could very well be affecting everything, too, this companions that it has.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something up with this thing. You know, there's definitely something up with this thing. You know, not to put any ideas in anybody's head, but think about it. I was talking to Riker about it a while back. I was thinking that, you know, how the whole Mayan calendar and the end of the world, and we never really thought the end of the world was going to happen on December 21st. I mean, you know, you were still a little skeptical, hey, is it going to or not? But, you know, I knew it wasn't going to end on December 21st, but could it possibly be with this happening that if that was true, that we were a year off, or the Mayans were a year off?
Val, if you, I don't know if you happen to notice also on Facebook or not, if you were keeping track of Donnie Gilson, but he mentioned something about the Gregorian calendar and Julian calendar not being the same, that basically a little bit being off by over a year. And with the Mayans, would be more toward the Gregorian calendar instead of the Julian calendar. So he might have a point there.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm bringing that up. That's why I'm bringing this up. I think Riker and I, didn't we mention that a while back? What about if they were a year off? Can you imagine if they were
right.
A year off? But we discussed it, you know, a while back. I kind of made a little bit of a joke about it. Not that it's a joking manner, but I kind of made a little bit of a joke about it. And I said, what about if they were a year off? And we kind of chuckled a little bit. You never know. But I brought that up because of what I think you shared that with me, right? Did you share that with me, JD, about what Donnie had said?
Right, yeah. Also, too, there is a guy that's predicting, just like when Job had entered the whale, if you look into the sky for the astrology, the moon, which is representing Job, is entering into Pisces and coming out, and but at the same time that he says about for 40 days, interacts with about the same time as Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, and when Ison is visible with naked eye. So,
yeah, there's something up with that. Yeah, that's what's kind of questionable, you know.
Well, I mean, a lot of things got all drawn in all at the same time, different areas. So it could very well mean a lot of things.
Well,
yeah,
they've
exactly.
Also said too that this comet is going to be bright. Then you hear other people out there saying, no, it's not as bright as they thought it was going to be. Then you hear, no, it's getting brighter than they thought it was going to. It's like one of those he said, she said thing, and you don't know exactly what is going to happen. Is it going to be brighter? Is it going to be dim? Or is anybody going to see it or what?
Yeah. Well, we really won't know until actually when it gets here. That's the way I look at it. After it makes it pass around the sun, then we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Now, when you were saying we're supposed to see it, I know it's supposed to reach, I think they call it perihelion. I can't pronounce the word. When it comes around the sun. It, when we're supposed to start seeing it, when it comes around the backside of the sun after November 28th.
Right.
Now, are we going to be seeing this just before daylight? Is it going to, as it gets further and further away from the sun, is it going to be visible at night?
Well, that's another thing, too, is will it even make it around it? Will the sun destroy it before it makes it pass around it?
Right. They were theorizing about that, too, because it's going to come very close to the sun's surface. If it hits the sun, that could cause the sun to violently react and send CMEs our way and mess us up.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. You really won't know until about that time when all this happens.
It's like I was saying too earlier in the show that NASA was already admitted that they were wrong on their figures as far as how close it was going to come to Mars. So, how close or how wrong are they going to be about how close it's supposed to come to the sun?
Right.
Yeah, just, exactly.
And another thing too that I don't know if you happen to notice about it, but there's supposed to be a some kind of eclipse this weekend going on in the sky.
With what? The moon or the sun?
With the moon.
I didn't hear about that one. I'm not saying there isn't. It has to be a partial, I'm sure, of some kind.
Right. But it's supposed to make it look like blood. That's from what I've heard.
You remember when I sent you that article
like that
a couple
of
weeks ago? Yeah, about the blood moon. There's four different things that happen within a year to the moon. Yeah, and that only happened like three other times. This will be the fourth, and they say last time it'll ever happen.
Right. That's supposed to be this weekend. I don't know if it's only visible in certain areas or what, but it's supposed to be this weekend.
It's called an event. It's called an event in, let me see, it says when night comes and it is a blood moon. Let me see. It says something about forget it. I always call it it says a blood moon is a common, randomly occurring event that takes place over the course of an entire night. It causes several hazards for its duration. Enemy spawns increase even near your home. Zombies become able to open up doors. And then I think this is a joke. It says bunnies, pigs, and goldfish transform into dangerous enemies. I don't know where I got that from. But I did read something about that. Terraria?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called, Terraria?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. All right. I had read something about that, and I think somebody shared it with me. Oh, man, I wish I could find out. Did you share that with me, maybe, JD? I remember seeing something about this. I'm trying to think if you did.
I'm trying to find it, looking it up right now, too.
Yeah, because I remember... Rika, did you share that with me? Because I did see that. I did remember getting something like
that. I was talking about, what was his name? I'm trying to think of the evangelist that does his show, and he was talking in a video, and I sent that video to you where he was talking about in history when every time this had occurred, that certain things happened dramatically on the earth. The last time, I think, was in 67 when Israel became a nation, but the Seven-Day War.
Right, that's John Hagee.
John Hagee, yeah, thank you very much. That's the guy, yeah. And he talked about this blood moon, that it'll happen once again between now and 2014. There's several dates where this occurs, and it happens four times in that year, which is something that has never happened before, all these other dates. And this is the last time he said it'll happen in forever. The way he made it.
Oh, yeah, I found something on him. I found something on him, so I'll read a little bit of it. Yeah, it's Pasture. John Hagee was invited by Fox News this week to discuss the significance of four blood moons coming over the next 2 years. Let me see when this is dated. This is dated, or actually recently, October 19th of this year, It says, on the Jewish Passovers on April 15, 2014 and April 4th, 2015, and the Feast of the Tabernacles. No, I don't even know anything about this. This is interesting. On October 8, 2014 and September 28, 2015, such events have occurred only three other times in recent centuries, and each time they were linked to significant events for the Jewish nation as outlined in Hagee's new book titled Four Blood Moons, Something is About to Change. For example, when it happened in 1493 and 1494, Jews were expelled from Spain. The blood moons in 1949 and 1950 came right after the nation of Israel was assembled and given the Jews a homeland for the first time in thousands of years. And in 1967 and 1968, it was linked to the Six-Day War. So you were right about that, about what he said. There is something that just is beyond coincidental, he states. He explained that the prophecies in the Bible note that when the sun refuses to shine and a solar eclipse is expected, in 2014 and 15 time frame, and the moon will be turned blood, then man's redemption draweth near. In the Old Testament, the prophet Joel states, The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Does that mean that when the moon turns into blood, that's the return of Jesus Christ? Is that what he's trying to say?
That might be. I don't know. He also did say in that video, like, you know, how they always say we're living in the last days and everything. He says, we've been living in the last days. He said, I forgot for how many years.
Many years, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he says, also for the first time, a calendar showing impending signs in the heavens is available. The exciting features of the 16-month calendar include the signs in the heavens, the actual dates from NASA when eclipses will occur, including Comet Icen, intertwining the civil calendar with the biblical calendar, dates of significant biblical events from history. So this is what his book explains all this. So that's pretty interesting. I didn't even know who this guy was. That's pretty interesting, though. Yeah, that's what he said.
It's exactly amazing, too. It's amazing like that NASA can come up with all this data and get all these dates right. But when Comet Icen was coming in, they got it wrong as far as how close it came to Mars. Now, maybe they got it wrong because the speed of this thing has either slowed down or picked up, and certain things happened that they didn't anticipate on. See, that's another way of looking at this thing, too. Because
yeah.
Comet Icen isn't actually acting like a normal comet.
Right.
Yeah, there's something going on with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways you can look at it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So now these blood moons are supposed to start soon then. Well, October 8th, it said. So we're past
okay,
already,
so
right?
We've already had one. No, that's in 2014.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my eyes are really going crazy. I really think I need reading glasses. I'm not kidding. I never thought I'd say that.
I have mine on. I know I need them. Let's see here.
I really want to
first...
find that other article.
Yeah, it says the first was April 15, 2014. 2014, that'll be the first, and the second is April 4, 2015, and then October 8, 2014, and then September 28, 2015. So that's your four blood moons that happen within a two-year period.
Yeah. I just find it pretty interesting. I want to see what else this guy says. Yeah, some videos on it, the four blood moons. If you type it in YouTube, you can see what it's John Hagee, Pastor John Hagee is talking about. I just find it pretty interesting. But, you know, I just don't want this, you know, I don't want to really say, I just find something, being provided to me with this Comet Icen, what it's doing, and other people are saying there's something odd about this comet. You know, it leaves one to question. You know, I'm kind of skeptical about going that route that it's going to do something or cause something with the sun, because, you know, I don't want our show to be about, you know, doomsday and, you know, bringing fear to people. I'm just reporting what we see.
That could happen. Nobody really knows
right.
until we go through it. You know, you just got to wait and see.
Okay, Val, what I found was it was a hybrid solar eclipse. That's what it is.
Oh, okay. Hybrid, that's it. That's the term that was used. Do you have that article? Did you find it?
Yeah, I can go ahead and post it in the chat room.
Perfect. Is that the one from the Los Angeles Times?
No, it's at Kurdistan Planetarium. That's what it's called.
Okay.
And it's actually going to be on the 3rd of November, which is tomorrow.
Our birthday.
Our birthdays, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Yeah, actually, this is a photo of something here. I'm going to share this in the chat room. I see a few people holding. I'm going to take another quick break. I take one every half hour, another 3 minutes of break, and this will be our last break. We have a half hour left of the show. So I see two people holding. I will bring you in a moment. But again, I just need to go to break. You know, we have to you know, help our sponsors out here. So I'm going to go to break, everyone, and Riker and I will be back with JD, and we'll continue to talk about ISIN. Hey, everyone. This is Valerie Ann with the Truth Exposition Show. We're back with my co-host, Riker. Okay, so I had brought some callers in with us, okay? So we have Sheldon. You still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, and then we also have Tessa, who's here. And right. Riker, my co-host, is here. Yeah.
Yes.
So, Sheldon.
And JD says his phone died. Battery.
Oh, no. Thank you. Okay, I didn't pull all that out. Oh, all right. Says again. All right. All right. This is the deal. Sheldon's calling in. I want him to talk first. He has some information I'm sure he wants to provide. And then I know Tess wanted to give some information, too. So, go ahead, Shel.
Well, I don't know if this is coincidence or not, but the last time they shut the government down was back at the end of 1995, and that was at the time when it was just a few months after they had discovered Comet Hale-Bopp, and at that time they were really worried that Hale-Bopp could be Planet X. They apparently decided it wasn't, and the CIA decided to murder that Heaven's Gate suicide cult in an effort to make Planet X look ridiculous if it ever does show up, because we got all these crazy people that so-called killed themselves in California.
Right, right.
Now,
I know, it seems pretty coincidental, right? I agree.
Yeah, you know, that's the last time they shut the government down, and then they did it again last month at the same day that ISON was at its made Mars go comet. And now when ISON gets close to Mercury here sometime after the 10th of this month, but McCanny's probably betting on the 13th or 14th. We also have Comet Encke out there that's only going to be 2.3 million miles from Mercury, and that could enhance ISON's electrical effect with Mercury. And, you know, when they shut the government down last month, I think that they were just sort of getting prepared and hunkered down just in case this thing really does start interacting with the sun later this month and brings the grids down.
You know, isn't it
right,
interesting that you mentioned November 14th when it's going to interact with Mercury, that's actually the same day they're trying to do the test for the power grid, too.
Right, exactly.
Well, you know, that show that aired on the National Geographic Channel Sunday night, that's scheduled to re-air on November 13th.
You can't help you, right, because I watched
what?
That. I had actually watched that and taped it on, quoted it, rather, not taped it. God, I'm showing my, I'm definitely showing my age when I say I taped it. sorry, I recorded it on my TiVo.
That's okay. I still have a flip phone that don't do nothing.
It's so funny. Yeah, my friend, I had seen my ex-brother-in-law, at my son's football game the other day, and he actually, he's around my age, and we're only about a year or two apart, and he has a flip phone, and I said, because we text each other once in a while, I said, you can actually receive text messages on that thing. I mean, it's so dinosaur, it seriously is. But no, you're right. On a serious note, I think that the government shutdown was pretty questionable when it came to that, but also, if you can recall, and I know, Sheldon, you were giving me some information on that, and I was getting other people giving me information, and my own research actually revealed that NASA had shut down some of their programs or telescopes during that shutdown. The funny thing is that I was under the impression that NASA was already funded for their programs, so why would they shut any kind of NASA programs or telescopes down during the shutdown?
Right. That was a big question.
Yeah. So that's another question. You know. So you know, is it just coincidental that all this timing that's happening? You know, we have this so-called shutdown that happened, and NASA telescopes were offline, and some of the programs were offline. You know, what else was going on? And like you said, you know, back in 1999. Then they had...
No, that was late 95.
Oh, 95, but you said 99. My apologies.
Well, can I ask you this, Sheldon? Have you heard, like, when we had AJ on there, he was talking about us not going through the comet tail. Do you know anything about that? What have you heard about that? Are we going to pass through the tail? What kind of information do you have on that?
Yeah, based upon what I'm researching, about January 17th, we'll have a meteor shower from this thing. I guess only time will tell what will really happen.
And that's ironically right around the time they're supposed to shut the government down again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's funded until January 15th, I believe. Yeah, that's a good dot connector.
You know, they talk as if the tail just disappeared after the comet went by, but there's always debris left behind.
And you know, for 3 weekends in a row, they had this movie Gravity out that had really had high rankings at the box office, and that's impregnating the idea of debris hitting all kinds of stuff up above Earth.
Well, the theory behind that is if it takes out one satellite, and the debris from that satellite will take out three or four others, and then it's catastrophic. It's just a domino effect and just wipes out all the satellites. Because we have so many of them up there right now.
Sure.
Now, let me probably have a lot more than we know about.
Probably, Tess. You're right. And we'll soon find out. I mean, we'll really definitely soon find out. I do have a question, Sheldon. If you know anything about this, this was my question, is this. When it comes to that power grid simulation of a shutdown of our power grid, are they actually, do you have any information or do you know, are they actually going to shut off portions of the power grid, or are they going to just physically conduct a drill and where they're going to place themselves and how they're going to handle it? Is an actual drill that's going to go live is what I'm wondering. Do we know anything about how they're going to conduct it? Yeah.
Well, I know something about that because when the power grid went down here in California because of the scam going on, we were simply, in my area, taken off the grid, and we got local power. So it went out for like 10 or 15 seconds, and then it was back on because we have a local power plant. So
right.
Taking down the grid does not mean turning off the power.
Okay,
and I have
see.
A feeling maybe they know that they have to disconnect from the grid when this comet goes by because of the electrical effects that it will have.
That, I never thought of that. That could be
That's
true.
A good, that is a good point.
Yeah.
Wow.
Too many different scenarios. You'll have to wait and see.
Or maybe they just want to kill us all.
I hope not.
You know, I have my theory about even when you see up in the sky the chemtrails and stuff. I may be wrong with my theory, but I'm going to throw it out there. I know I've said this before. I'm seeing most of the chemtrails, I would say about 98% of the chemtrails that are being sprayed in my area, okay, when I look up. I see them in my area around the sun. It's always around the sun and in where the sun's position will be during a certain, you know, time of the day. I mean, I just find that pretty questionable. Why do I see them around the sun? They're always around the path of the sun. Not the sun moves. Not that the sun's moving. I'm just saying from when I'm looking up. It's always in the path of where the sun is going to be in a certain period.
Speaking of the sun, lately the sun has, I've been saying for a month, the sun is too far to the south for this time of year.
You know what?
December.
Yep.
Well, today I noticed the night sky went completely black by 6:30, but tomorrow when we have the clock change, it will be 5:30. That's too early for this time of year.
Yeah,
what's
you know what?
Going
I'm thinking
on?
That too. I don't know, but I'm looking up. I'm like, the sun's position, you know, at certain times of day, like at, you know, 10:30 in the morning, then it's like 12:30 and 3 o'clock. the sun's position, like you said, it seems a little too far south. Is that what you're saying? Because that's what I'm seeing. It doesn't seem like it's in the right position for this time of year. And I thought I was going absolutely crazy looking. I'm like, this doesn't seem right. It's not in its actual position when you're looking up at certain times of the day.
Right.
It just doesn't seem right. It does not seem right.
My friends already know that I'm crazy, but the sun is doing weird things.
Well, you know, maybe we're not crazy. Maybe we're just more aware of possibilities. I think that's what it is. I don't think we're
enough. Well, Valerie, during this time of the year, the sun does move further south in the sky, but the fact that you're seeing so much chemtrailing around the sun could really be an indication that planet X is by the sun. It's not really by the sun, but from our perspective on Earth, it would look like it's by the sun.
Right, exactly. You're looking up. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I'm thinking, I always said that. I don't think chemtrails, I mean, again, I may be wrong and people may disagree with me, and that's fine. I'm not always right, believe it or not. I had this conversation today, and, you know, and I'm really not. I'm not always right. I understand that, but I question things, okay? That's what I do. I question things, whether I'm right or wrong. And I have my own theories, okay, just from my own observations and my own research. I'm not a scientist. I'm not an expert in science or the solar system or planetary objects, but it's really common sense. One, to look at things to kind of connect the dots, and common sense to know that something is not right. I mean, something is not right. I mean, I feel... Seriously, even in, you know, I'm not a nervous person. I'm not paranoid in any way. Reichen knows me very well. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it either. I don't think there's anything wrong with being, you know, paranoid or, you know, worried about things. But I'm not like that. But the thing is, I feel there is something going on. I'm very uneasy, and I feel very uneasy about something. I can't pinpoint what it is. I don't know if it's because, you know, everything, there's so much going on around us today, you know, between wars and rumors of wars. Now I'm starting to talk like the Bible. But, you know, that and Reichen knows
well,
I don't do that.
Well, a lot of people are feeling that way.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are. Something's wrong. You know, they're stripping our rights every day with these executive orders and the Patriot Act, and although that was years ago, and, you know, the National Defense Authorization Act, which was just extended in also 2012, different executive orders that are being issued, preparation for possible martial law. You know, police departments are coming out saying that they're preparing. You watch videos of police departments that are becoming, you know, becoming militarized. There's, you know, it's just so much going on today.
They have mine-resistant
so
vehicles, police.
Yeah. I know. Come on. They're driving around with Hummers and tanks. I've never known. I mean, I haven't seen
anyone
with that yet. But, yeah, I know. It's just they're militarizing our police department. And it's just so questionable. And people, what drives me out of my mind is, and that's why sometimes I need to just step back, because it absolutely drives me crazy. You know, when I look up at the sky and I see these chemtrails, all I do is see people on the street looking down at their phones and going about their busy days, okay? But it drives me insane that I'm the only one looking up, and I'm the one on the corner taking photos of this. Nobody is even noticing me taking photos or saying, what are you taking a picture of, or looking up when I'm looking up? Because I can tell you right now, if I'm walking down the street and somebody starts looking up at something, I sure as heck going to look up too. But nobody else looks up. And it drives me out of my mind. But that just goes to show you, not because they're not looking up at the sky to see what I see, but if you don't see what's in the sky and you're not looking up, that just represents that all you really worry about is your own little world. There's so much going on around us now that on the show right now are so aware of and awakened about all this. And people in our chat room, other people listening in, that's why you're listening in. That's why you're in the chat room, because you are awake. So there are things that are going on.
I was going to say, it's like my neighbors, when I had mentioned it to her earlier this year, she said, well, that's been going on for years, you know, and you're still here and what have you. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, but it just, don't you ever ask, you know, wonder why, what are they doing, what's going on. I mean, just simply the simple fact of asking the question of what are they doing, why do we even have to see this up there? Nobody even gives a crap. They just, you know, go on about their daily life, like you said, and they're in their own little world, don't care.
Yeah, they
and
that's
a scary part.
But it's in preparation of something for years. That's how I look at
when,
it. Maybe,
when Comet Hayutake came by, it was bigger than the full moon and almost as bright, and I pointed it out to a guy that I knew, and he said, oh, that's just the moon. So I had to turn him around and point and say, no, that's the moon.
Right. No, exactly.
So what? He went back in. You know, he was through smoking his cigarette.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Yeah.
I have another caller I'm going to bring in that put their hand up. So I'm going to take this other caller in with us. Caller, you're on the line. Do you have a comment or a question?
Hello. Am I on the air?
Oh, you're
yes,
live.
You are.
Yes, you are. I see you have your hand up. Did you want to come online?
Who, me?
Yes.
Yeah,
you're online.
Oh,
I just wanted, I wanted to bring you in right away.
I just
wanted, we only have 10 minutes left. Yeah.
Yeah, Rosalind Peterson, she's from Northern California. She belongs to Skywatch.com, and she has done the longest research, you know, on the chemtrail cover-up, and there's a lot of information there on geoengineering and exactly what it's doing, and she's just an amazing woman, and she has great information. My name's Mama Bear. I'm from Northern California.
What's her name again? What's her name again?
Rosalind Peterson. Peterson.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I look at here. Yeah, I see her. I knew she sounded familiar. That name sounded familiar. Yeah, I watched one of her videos before. Absolutely.
Yeah, she does a great, I mean, she's been studying this for about, I would say over 25 years, and she has amazing information on all of the geoengineering and how it's affected our county here where I live, and she's just a really amazing person. So that would be a good place to start for, you know, people who want to know what's really going on, barium, aluminum, you know, refracting the light and all kinds of different stuff. Where we live, it's caused problems like sudden oak death syndrome and contamination in the water, you know, with barium, and the Shasta snowpack has like one of the highest aluminum and barium, concentration. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's completely concentrated. So my thinking is if they would do something like that and contaminate the water and this and that in the sky, you know, then there's obviously something really serious going on.
No, absolutely. And what gets me about this is the actual pilots that are releasing these chemicals, are they being told why they're doing it, or are they just doing it?
I think the military, they just do it.
Yeah.
I think that if you watch her seminars, then it talks about the fly zones over like our counties where we live in, and those planes that she found out through her research are privately owned planes. They're paid for by, you know, government, privately paid for government people, you know, doing stuff that in fly zones where they shouldn't be flying.
Mm-hmm.
These are actual jets. They're not crop dusters.
Wow.
Yeah, they're actual jets. You can look up and see them. How many times I catch them in the middle of it? Yeah.
Yeah, because a normal contrail lasts 5 to 8 seconds.
Yeah.
Around here I've seen the military jets, and I know they aren't contrails because they're flying only around 10,000 feet, and contrails don't form that low because the air's too warm.
Yeah.
No.
And even in the winter, a contrail will only last between 6 to 10 seconds.
Yeah, you know the difference. They dissipate right away. So it's
hey, Valerie,
you know the difference.
One more thing I wanted to bring up about ISON.
Yes.
That remote viewer at Dames had appeared on Coast to Coast earlier this year, and he was taking this Comet ISON thing so seriously. He held two B behind-the-door closed meetings where people had to sign non-disclosure agreements, and he is really convinced that this comet is the blue kachina that the Hopi Indians talked about.
Yeah, well, we had a caller. We had a caller last week that said that.
In Dames.
What's that?
Ed Dames. I don't put much stock in Ed Dames because he keeps predicting the end of the world, and it never happens.
But he did accurately predict that.
For that.
he did accurately predict that reactor in Japan going down before it happened.
Well, that was
If you look
really
to the Hopi prophecies of the blue and red kachina, then, you know, it says right there in the prophecies what's going to happen, you know, and America was designed to fail, and that's just the reality of it, you know.
What if ISUN is actually the Voyager spacecraft sent back to us to tell us that we're under quarantine and we can't leave the solar system?
Well, that could be possible, but I think that Creator works in mysterious ways.
Idea, but.
I don't want to leave the solar system. They don't have to come and tell me. Right here on Earth.
Sometimes when I get up in the morning to go to work, it's hard to leave the house.
If you look on NASA's satellite imaging of planet Ison, it's in three parts, and a lot of people say that that's the Holy Trinity. So where I come from, they say it's definitely the red and blue kachina, fire and ice. But
we had a caller last week. She said she was part of the Hopi tribe. She said she was from many tribes. Oh, many tribes. She's from Hopi and another tribe. You want the tribes, I guess. I didn't know that you could be a member of many, but that's interesting. It was interesting enough. She was a very, very nice woman. I spoke with her privately for a little while in a conference, and she had said that that's what Comet Ison is. When I started talking about Comet Ison, she brought up the red and blue kachina, and I remember reading or watching something about that that Marshall Masters was handling, was basically talking about that. And I actually find it very interesting. And if you watch some videos on the Hopi or from the elders of the Hopi tribe, they start talking about it too. And wasn't that one guy I said, the one guy looked like Jackie Chan? One of the Hopi Indian guys that was talking about it looked just like Jackie Chan. Do you remember that one?
That had to be a while ago. I remember there was one guy that was talking about...
Robert Morningstar was it?
I have to find that video. The reason why I mention that is he looks just like Jackie Chan. So if you type in the Hopi on YouTube, let me see if I can find it, Hopi Prophecy, and you'll know who that's the guy to watch. If that's the guy that looks like Jackie Chan, that's the video to watch. So I'm really not making a joke about it. I'm serious. He looks just like him. But he had some interesting things to say about that and started talking about the blue kachina and the red kachina. So that's how I also knew about it. Yeah. So, like I said, I want to find it.
Kachina is a star, and
right. It's
also an angel. The terms star and angel are interchangeable. It will be interesting to see when it gets closer.
Well, yeah. Valerie was mentioning Marshall Masters. He put out a video about this object he calls the blue bonnet that was imaged over the Terriabo volcano, I think down in Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that where the volcano erupted, took out the camera?
I don't know if it erupted, but all of a sudden they weren't providing live webcam images anymore of that part of the sky there.
Huh.
Well, there's a great video. It's called The Hopi Prophecy of the Coming Fifth Age and the Blue and Red Star Kachinas. And it's about probably 9 minutes long, but it is the actual written prophecy itself, word for word, and... it's a pretty great thing, so maybe you guys should check it out. It's the Hopi Prophecy of Coming Fifth Age and Blue and Red Star Kachina. It's a great video.
For sure.
Yeah,
we got about 20 seconds left.
Yeah, we have about 20 seconds left.
Okay, good night.
Good night. Thank
you so much
for calling in.
Good night.
All right, everyone, good night. And guess what? It's our birthday in 1 minute. So happy birthday to us.
Yes, happy birthday to both of us.
And Cass and Sheldon and the caller that just called in, I'm so sorry. I forgot your name. Thank you so much for calling in, and have a great evening. Hold on 1 second, Ryan. So, everyone, thank you so much for listening to Riker and I. This is Truth Exposition signing off. We'll see you next week, same time, 10:30 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone.